Hi, this is Dr. Nancy Molina with the Dr. Molina Show. This is about looking for a positive change in your life. It's about an awakening, the innate intelligence, or the physician within us. Tonight we're going to talk about several things. I'd like to share my experience of more than 20 years to discover a unique pathway for your healing. You'll have opportunities to, with this program, to learn about nutrition and exercise, spiritual fitness, physiological stress reduction, effects of hormone therapies on quality of life issues. Hopefully, we'll be providing you with guidelines on how you can live on a daily and weekly basis to make steady, incremental changes that will ultimately lead to a lifetime of health and happiness. That is my desire for you. If, however, you're waiting for some magic medication, if you're waiting for the magic pill to make you feel better and balance your body, don't hold your breath, at least not till it happens. All modern synthetic man-made drugs seem to have side effects. You need to discover, and this is what I tell my patients on a daily basis, I just finished clinic time, you need to discover the cause of the problem, and then and only then can a cure be recommended. Now, remember I said earlier in this broadcast that there is a physician within, there is a healer within. Not only do you need to discover the cause of the problem and the cure, but you need to determine one thing, that all degenerative diseases, all illnesses are simply age-related. They are degenerative and simply that, including all of our cancers. So I'm giving you a reasonable answer to a reasonable illness. You're going to receive more answers, and you're going to determine that there is some other things to finding exact causes. You're going to start looking around the corner to a multitude of doctors and asking for exact causes. Well, guess what? Nobody really knows all the answers, including myself. All the doctors, all the dentists, all the nurses, we all study from similar books, and we quote many great research studies, but at the end of the chapters, quite often there's a qualifying statement about the previously mentioned research, like more research is needed to understand this phenomena. And it all sounds logical to our educated minds, but unfortunately you must realize that the theories of man's mind do not run the body, nature does. There is some kind of an inborn intelligence that created our miraculous body from one single cell. Now, we have trillions of cells miraculously working together when we're alive and healthy. So what's the point of all this? How does the body work? Well, the big question is, how does the patient work? Is the patient taking an active stance with their health care? Are they asking the appropriate questions? Are they actually informed patients? Not in my opinion. The majority of patients that come into my practice need a well pill called education. Not a magic bullet, not the magic carpet. They need a well pill called education. Once they're allowed to enable themselves to have information, digest that information, they can take control of their own health care. And in doing so, in enabling that patient, I am becoming more of their advocate day in and day out. One of the patients I had today basically came in for one thing, left with a wealth of information on another, because that's the way we work in this practice. This particular patient, we cannot mention names because of HIPAA compliancy, but this patient had had breast cancer. The breast cancer had gone into remission, and of course, as a result, 15 years later, resurfaces. Now, conventional medicine has not held the belief that cancer is degenerative. Conventional medicine has always held the belief that aging is inevitable and that progressive deterioration occurs, and in our adult years it can't be altered. That's simply not true. We had been led to believe that the diseases of aging, such as heart disease and stroke and cancers and senility, are part of a normal aging process. It's not. That's untrue. Today there is and I'm very pleased to be a part of an exciting revolution in science and medicine that looks to preventative medicine, much beyond vaccinations, much beyond that phenomenon, study of aging and replacement of hormones. to try to assist with this downward spiral of physical and mental decline that we've been compliant to accept as we season. We don't grow old in my practice, we season. So we're finding out these days that it is becoming more recognized and somewhat more controllable and preventable, just as if this, just as this patient who walked in to the practice today and gave me the past medical history of the breast cancer, and tragic stories. What was more tragic was not the fact that she had to go through the chemotherapy and the procedures that she went through, but the fact that a lot of her symptomatology and complaints that she was experiencing today is a result of the aging process and the cancer that she went through. So we had to turn around 180 degrees and educate the patient on that process. And I'll try to do a little bit of that this evening. With respect to the cancers that develop, we know in something that is known as a preventative medicine, we know that hormones play, particularly in a postmenopausal female, hormones play a very, very strong role in associated diseases, or should I say the decline of hormones play a very, very strong role in associated diseases. We know today, and I will not plug the book, but Suzanne Summers, as a celebrity, brought it out to the media and did a wealth of information to women across the United States on sharing her tragedy and what she went through and discovering that the lack of hormones may have predisposed her to certain conditions. And we'll leave that at that. I don't know Suzanne, because so I certainly don't know her history, and I cannot say anything more. I have not been her doctor. But particularly hormone levels of estrogen and progesterone will drop drastically after menopause. Now, for those of you that are wondering what menopause is out there, and particularly those guys, we also have andropause, which occurs with the male. Okay, and that's the male's time of menopause. But female menopause typically will occur 1 year after the cessation of menses, 1 year after. Perimenopause can be 10 years. Peri meaning alongside, or around the time, can be up to 10 years. It comes to no surprise that after menopause, certain conditions like heart disease in women skyrockets and even surpasses the male population. In fact, it's the leading cause of death in older women, with over 500,000 deaths per year in the United States. This is more than twice as many as all the cancer deaths combined. So estrogen had been prescribed, synthetic estrogen, for over 40 years to women at menopause to give them symptom relief. It was not preventative, but symptom relief. And the symptom relief was for the hot flashes, the depression, the decreased libido. It was felt that replacing the estrogen would improve this. More importantly, what we discovered is it decreased the risk of heart disease and osteoporosis. Now let's go back to the woman with the breast cancer that had breast cancer in the past that walked into my practice with hip pain. She has osteoporosis of the hip. Despite the fact that she went through the breast cancer, the ravages of chemotherapy did unfortunately decline her ovarian function. She did go into menopause at an earlier age than most, induced menopause, if you will, not a surgical menopause, but a chemotactic menopause. And what happened was she ended up with an osteoporosis, a bone thinning disease of her hip. She came into the practice with pain post-lifting. Now, we had to take several steps backwards. We could have just treated the pain, but we had to take several steps back because we are preventative and educate her that the consensus of the opinion is that the estrogen without progesterone is what may, in fact, have led to the osteoporotic condition. So what we're trying to do is to teach. To teach these patients. Well, I educated her very early on that osteoporosis, like so many diseases, is degenerative disease or deterioration. It's simply a change of tissue to a lower or a lesser functionally active form. Bone's a living tissue. Osteoporosis is characterized by a quantitatively low bone mass, but the composition of that remaining bone is normal. Now, she had hip pain. It's a weight-bearing joint. The density of the bone is thin. She's at risk for hip fracture. She hurts. She has pain. We need to do some preventative care as well as pain management care. The osteoporosis is considered a progressive disorder, so we need to halt it. And, of course, osteoporosis will develop when the bone breaks down faster than it can be rebuilt. Now, most of you have heard of osteoporosis scans, DEXA scans, CAT scans that will typically check the lumbar spine, a weight-bearing joint such as the hip, measure it, and determine whether or not there's a bone thinning or a bone loss occurring. Typically, your physician may order this every year, every 2 years. It depends on your risk, your past medical history and your risk toward progression. This particular instance, there's something new out there. On my patients, I will test this function of my patients by ordering a bone density enteleopeptide or an NTX screen. It's an osteoporosis urine screen. It's a very simple laboratory test. All of our laboratories perform them. I'm in California, and most all of our laboratories perform this. The clinical uses for this test are to predict future bone mineral density, or BMD as it's known, to monitor these patients with metabolic bone disorders, and even to detect bone metastasis, which is a spread of a cancer with various malignancies. The healthy levels of the BMD, the bone mineral density, are maintained by a balance between bone resorption and bone formation. So the NTX, which is an amino terminal cross-linked peptide of a type 1 collagen, is released. And you literally, pardon the expression or the pun, you pee out bone. Now, it will increase. The NTX amino acid increases in the urine. So it's, these increases may not be observed, may not only be observed in osteoporosis, but in osteopenia, which is the early stages, thinning of the bone, even rheumatoid arthritis, which is an inflammatory arthritis, where you whittle away the bone. I always use the expression that the long bone will begin to look like a licked candy cane stick. It thins down. Wonderful early marker or predictor of bone density. Any therapeutic response that we're doing for the patient, we can determine the response to our management plan within 3 months of therapy instead of waiting a year or more and radiating them with a CAT scan. So I think it's a wonderful test to educate patients. This particular woman, we've also educated her on bioidentical hormone replacement. As we're placing the patients on the bioidentical hormones, after laboratory tests indicate where the deficiency is, the NTX test is a good indicator of therapeutic response. Because guess what? Estrogen has some control over osteoclasts. Well, what's an osteoclast? It's a cell that breaks down bone. So estrogen can aid in decreasing bone loss by slowing down bone breakdown. It doesn't do anything to build the bone. But progesterone, which is another hormone, stimulates osteoblasts to build bones. So basically the active estrogen and progesterone, and these are the natural forms, they're sterile analogs. They've been found in many plant varieties. They're abundant wild yams. And you can use a bioidentical hormone to assist you in skeletal health. You know, the treatment isn't quite anything new. It's just we need to educate the patients. This poor patient has told me that the breast cancer patient stated that she's taken calcium supplements for years. Well, there wasn't any benefit to the calcium supplements. She needed a different form of education. So I think it's very important that we look at when conventional medicine is holding this belief that aging's inevitable and that progressive deterioration must occur in our adult years. Hogwash. It's not true. We need to reverse that. We need to educate the patients to such things as true preventative medicine. We have to not let them believe that, oh, it's simply a disease of aging. I can't tell you how many patients that come in and I explain to them they have arthritis, and they say, well, isn't that normal? Well, no, it's not. Arthritis is a result of trauma, direct or blunt, cumulative trauma, such as doing the same job day after day, year after year after year, such as ending up with carpal tunnel syndrome and things of this nature. And it's also a result of a disease, a metabolic and underlying disease, such as thyroid conditions or things of that nature. It's not part of a normal aging process. I think that this downward spiral of physical and mental decline that we accept, and the arthritides that we accept as a natural part of growing older, is now becoming recognized as, again, somewhat controllable and preventable. So the most effective solution of any disease process is prevention of that disease. And fortunately, we're entering an era when mainstream medicine will focus on slowing down aging processes. And we're going to achieve prevention of both the illnesses of aging as well as the symptoms of aging. When I look at symptoms as a doctor, and the patients come in, and what's your complaint? That's a symptom. They're expressing their symptoms. My goodness, for thyroid problems alone, there's over 200 symptoms. How often can a thyroid condition be misdiagnosed if we're going to chase a symptom? We need to practice true preventative health care. And I believe one of the most important and successful treatments is optimal hormone supplementation. There's a lot of amazing health protective benefits of hormones that are growing in understanding of evidence-based medicine, acceptance, application. And research has shown that maintaining our hormone levels in a youthful state will prevent debility and illness that accompany the aging process. You know, I'm just going to stop saying the aging process, and I'm just going to say the seasoning, because that's where it is, seasoning. We've looked at the last, 20, 30 years of research in fields of endocrinology and immunology. Endocrinology, study of hormones, and immunology really should be put together. I like neuroendoimmunology, but immunology is, of course, how you're healing. Would be probably the best way to put it, the most simplistic way, or not healing. But those studies in those fields has improved our knowledge as to how and why we age. The rate and the incidence of disease formation, as well as the rate of aging, is, of course, controlled, at least partially, by our endocrine and our immune systems. The endocrine system, of course, is, you know, the thyroid, the body's temperature, the reproduction, growth, aging, immune system. There is a communication between the nervous system, the endocrine system, and the immune system that makes it possible for us to survive our environment. But hormones are chemical messengers, a.k.a. neurotransmitters. Neuro, which means that they will exert something which will be transmitted through the nervous system, a chemical messenger, or through the blood system as a chemical messenger to elicit a response at a target organ. So hormones can have different actions on different cell types in different tissues. They can act as messengers. They can come from the central nervous system and tell our internal organs how to function. And if we have a decrease in the production of hormones, which begins in middle age, sometimes sooner, unfortunately, it'll continue to diminish in a linear fashion until we're seasoned or old age. So hormones are, understanding hormone levels, understanding preventatively what we do with respect to hormone balancing, I think is an important aspect in serving the patient and letting them know what we can do to serve them. Now, I primarily work in chiropractic PMR, which is physical medicine rehabilitation. I'm located in San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows come home. And I'm at 949-248-2826. You can always call, get some information. You can call into the radio broadcast, and hopefully we'll generate some of the patient advocacy roles for you. I cannot offer medical advice through the radio talk show. However, I can educate. That's the primary goal of this program, educate, give you some information, and let you take your health into your own hands. I also function in preventative medicine over with Anti-Aging Associates in Laguna Hills, California at 949-716-1900. I believe working disciplinary practice is ideal in having the best way to serve the patient. I think a group practice is an ideal way to serve the patient. When we look at some of the issues that our cancer patients may undergo, that our terminally ill patients may undergo, their ability to heal compared to the fella next door. Why is Janie healing faster than Jim? What's going on here? When we look at that, we have to recognize, as we're treating the patient, the symptomatology, as we're looking at the wonderful new preventative medicine and its roles in hormonal balancing, and we're recognizing that a lack of chemical messengers or hormones will affect other symptoms. Other organ systems will act as a stack of dominoes, so that the breast cancer patient ends up with arthritis, ends up with osteoporosis, and the symptoms that are manifested as a result of those tragic diseases. Osteoporosis is bone loss. It's a horrible disease to have. When we see these types of patients, and we recognize the symptomatology and we educate them and we treat all aspects of their health, we're not just looking at the hip they bring us. We're looking at the total person. And part of looking at that total person is teaching them the healing process. Now, I can sit here tonight and I can tell you about the cellular healing and how that occurs on a physiological level. And I can tell you if you fracture a bone, it's going to take about 6 weeks to heal, and the types of fibers and the hydroxyapatite that's required for the bone to knit together. But I'm not going to do that because I want to talk about all aspects of healing and how we have to treat the whole patient. And I'll take an example of a so-called terminally ill patient. Listen, I've been on that side of the bedpan. I've been on that side of the bedpan as the patient twice, with being told terminal illness. We'll save that discussion for another evening. However, it has made me more cognizant of pain and suffering, particularly in touching my patients' lives. So the next thing that I want to talk about to the listeners out there is the ability to heal from within and treating the whole patient. We cannot neglect the spiritual awareness. We cannot neglect the physician within. We must enable that patient to take that aspect of their healing and turn it around to where they can make their CD4 cells raise. They can make their cells knit. They can raise their white blood cells. They can raise their lymphocyte counts. It's an amazing process when you look at it physiologically and the patient has studied and practiced simple things such as meditation, such as prayer, such as finding that thin space to where they can heighten their energy vibrations, their spiritual awareness, to recognize that if you place a conscious ability to shift from a lower energy pattern and getting out of this material world and the reality of it, because the reality of it is the disreality of it. It's going to make you ill. If you're hung up on having cancer and you can't get beyond the fear threshold or even say the big C word, and you know how all your friends are, they will not talk to you or they even have a tough time of what to say, and ooh, let's not talk about Janie's big C. You want to talk about it, but you don't. The reason why you don't is because you're going to move into a lower energy frequency. You're going to move into a lower energy field. This type of behavior can put you in a toxic environment. And in my mind, if you already have a cancer or a degenerative disease or illness, you're already in a toxic environment. I call it the human toxic cocktail. We have a lot of environmental influences, genetic influences. We have spiritual, mental influences. We have all types of ways that our body can be bombarded and become ill or diseased. It's not a simple A to B to C. When I see three patients working in the same environment, growing up in the same town, marrying the same types of folk, eating the same type of food, the same genetics, or I see siblings, how can I say, why did that person get cancer and the other one didn't? I can't explain it. There are ways to improve upon it, however, and most cancer patient survivors are aware of it. They don't watch the news. They watch comedy. They bring themselves up on a higher level or a faster vibrational frequency. Now, you're probably thinking, well, what is this doctor talking about? This is impossible to achieve. Well, it's on a personal view, your mind and your subsequent behavior can move you into a toxic energy level of the material world. We want to be in the level of spirit. We want to have the ability to have a spiritual solution. We want to raise our energy vibration so that healing can occur. If we're locked into the sick role, and I'll put those in quotes and parentheses, if we're locked into the sick role, then we expect certain behaviors, certain favors. We expect to be sick. Don't expect it. Don't expect to be sick. You need to practice an awareness of the impossibility that you're sick. You need to constantly remind yourself when you first awaken that, for example, God will be with you. The Spirit will be with you at all times. If you're fearful, you need to give it to a higher spiritual power and lose your fear. Get over the anxiety. I tell all of my cancer patients, all of my debilitating ill patients, when they come in and they want to talk about it, they want to profess it, they want to give reality to it, and that's all they talk about. They talk about the doctor visits. I tell them, leave it outside the door. When you come in, you'll remind yourself that you are in a spiritual place. You will not only be mindful these days on what foods you're eating or how much rest you're getting or how many vitamins you're taking, but you will be mindful when you make a phone call or drive in your car or enter your workplace. You will begin to have this realization that you are healed. You need to practice healing instead of giving in to sickness. Now, I'm not saying that all sick patients give in to sickness. I'm just saying that we give it too much reinforcement. We give a lot more reinforcement to it than it's worth. We need to have a stronger feeling of being safe and secure, knowing that we're healthy and living from this inner sense of integrity. And these feelings result from simply silently practicing. And I emphasize silently. We need to find the thin space. When we're giving a debilitating condition or a diagnosis or a label, when we're giving this and we're thought to be hopeless, we're in fear, it's the unknown, we may have lost our significant other because they don't know how to talk to us, we may have lost our children because they don't know how to talk to us, we need to practice the inner physician and bringing up this divine presence that resides within all of us. We need to raise our own energy field vibrations. I found with one of the last cancers that I had, that a very good way of doing this for me was staying in prayer and meditation daily, hourly, moment by moment. It was also helpful to come into practice. It was also helpful to share with the patients, because the patients were going to play an active role in raising my spiritual awareness and raising my higher energy. And what was really interesting was during this period, I obtained my own laboratory and I obtained my white blood cells and testing for red blood cells and things of this nature, looking to see if I'm immunosuppressed, looking to see if I'm anemic, looking to see where my thyroid is. So I run all my tests. And literally, when I'm living a little bit more stress-free during that period, or when I'm involved in prayer or meditation, and laughter and joining together, socializing with others that are lifting me up. I did improve significantly when I charted my laboratories. I actually saw changes in my blood serum testing, my studies. I felt better, too. I actually saw wounds, bruising and whatnot, that healed a lot faster. Now, I can't explain it other than the fact there's a fellow out there, Hans Selye, who, medical doctor, physicist, I believe, Hans coined the phrase the GAS syndrome. We learn a lot by acronyms in medicine. But the GAS syndrome is the general adaptation syndrome. And the general adaptation syndrome is simply back on what you may know as the fight or flight syndrome. So, for example, it's 3 a.m. You're in your kitchen getting a glass of milk, and a robber had broken in. You turn, you face the robber. What do? Well, most people pee right on the floor because they're so scared. It's a fight or flight syndrome. What will happen is their eyes will dilate so they can see better. It's a physiological response. The blood will shunt to their legs so they can run faster. To the heart, they get beat faster. They need to take in that oxygen, need to have that blood flow to get the heck out of there. That is a physiological response, fight or flight. That, if left on at all times, a.k.a. stress, adaptation, or inability to adapt, will age and season one faster to where they're not living in a state of health, but they're living toward a state of disease or compensation. Sooner or later, they're going to decompensate. And that linear scale of physiological health will start to fail, and the patient will start manifesting symptoms. Remember the symptomatologies. Remember the headaches, the vague complaints. That we need to put a handle on, put a label, and then identify it as a condition and then formulate a management plan. Maybe we need to teach them about stress adaptation, about Hans Selye. What occurs on a physiological level? What occurs in our adrenal glands? What is occurring at that time of the stimulus? And there's many forms of stimulus. There's the low threshold, which I call the nagging husband, the nagging wife. You know, it's just the low buzz, and it's just enough to stress us and deplete us on a physiological or cellular level. And if we're depleted there, we're not functioning well. We're not at optimum functioning. When things like this occur, we're not only going to feel out of sorts or anxious or afraid, but we lose vibrational energy frequencies that we may need to call upon for healing. So when there is a time in our life, and all of our lives, it's the reality of life, we may be diagnosed with a degenerative, and again, it's called a degenerative condition. Remember I said all cancers, everything is degenerative. When we are diagnosed with a degenerative, one of the first things we need to do is we need to be practicing to be mindful of the presence of the divine invisible spirit inside of us all, the true physician inside of us all. We can call it innate. I know in chiropractic we call it an innate intelligence. And the body, the power that made the body heals the body. When we deal with old chiropractic or a physiological basis for chiropractic, when a chiropractor will adjust a patient, spinal adjustment, they are looking to free up nervous interference. By adjusting the spine, there is off of the spinal cord, these spinal nerve roots come off, and they can get sticky joints. You get sticky joints in that area, basically granulomas and fibrosis and arthritis and accelerated aging process. And if those sticky joints are impinging upon a nerve or through the fibrotic muscle tissue as it travels along its pathway, as that nerve traverses through the belly of a muscle and pinches, because you're in fibrotic scarred tissue, granulomas, tough tissue, it will step on or block the nerve interference. Well, what's the nerve interference? Chemical messengers, aka hormones, telling another area of the body what to do. So there's a information, along the information highway, there's a blockage. So in a philosophical sense, chiropractic will adjust to improve optimal performance, because chiropractic recognizes that the physical body, if an area of the spine is subluxated, and we have our own criteria for subluxations, it is validated these days, we do have evidence-based medicine, the vertebral subluxation complex is validated by histological, that's different types of chemicals in that irritated area, by myopathy, which is muscle postural problems, imbalances, asymmetry. There are pathophysiological aspects of a vertebral subluxation complex. It's all validated at this point. But what, when we do adjust that particular patient, we're not only trying to free up the sticky joints, because the philosophically based chiropractor also recognizes that that nerve may supply a glandular or a gland or organ. Let's say it's an organ which is the heart, the bronchioles, the ears. So we want to improve the functioning of the heart by adjusting that particular nervous pathway that supplies the heart. Now, it is a study in neurology to understand this, but most of us that do go to chiropractors should understand and be taught this. I think the profession forgets it as we've gained our new Harvard learning-based method of study, which is 5 years of study after our bachelor's degree, or maybe we don't quite have a bachelor's, which is a four-year. We go into chiropractic medical school, and we have over 4,000 hours of training, and we learn everything under the sun that a medical doctor would learn, except surgery and pharmacology, and a lot less OBGYN. We learn more neurology, more orthopedics. We learn pharmatoxicology. We have three or four now national boards. Each year of chiropractic school, we have to take national board testing. We have a state board exam, which is 4 days long, typically. And I remember my state board question, pretty far removed from general chiropractic at the time. It was on amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease. I had to make the diagnosis, doctor. So the doctor of chiropractic is licensed by the state. They practice chiropractic medicine. The discipline has changed somewhat. The philosophy hasn't. The didactic in academia has changed. But it basically deals with the nervous system and its relationship to the spinal column and its interrelationship with other body systems. So what does this chiropractic do? Well, first of all, they improve function in the neuromusculoskeletal system. There is, of course, a specialized approach to this. But doctors of chiropractic are real doctors. They're DCs, just like a DO, doctor of osteopathic, or an MD, medical doctor. The educational process, I told you, is quite similar leading to a doctor of chiropractic as that is an MD. It's a minimum of 7 to 8 years of study. With me, got the bachelor's, did the 5 years academic. Then we have the state licensing. But back to the philosophical tenets. All chiropractors should teach you about optimal healing, because we know about innate intelligence. And I believe everything, every path that we're on and every pathway of learning leads us towards something else. And that led me to, of course, the chiropractic physical medicine rehabilitation, the chiropractic PMR. And then to disability training, disability certificates, and then, of course, preventative medicine certificates and the anti-aging and the hormone therapies. And I will never stop learning. I love the fact that the human body is just a miracle in itself. I try to teach the different aspects of healing. I try to also be extremely tolerant of other healthcare disciplines and study those disciplines. And not be biased, because if they're there to help the patient, I will utilize those. One of the healing processes that I should remark upon, and before I go back to that, the National Institute of Health has also tried to take this chiropractic medicine and its discipline, its philosophical tenets, and other healthcare disciplines, and they have developed something that the general public has wanted. They want to say, well, Dr. MD, Dr. DO, I want to do this because I feel it helps. I like my acupuncture. I like my chiropractic. I like my holistic medicine. I like these things. It works for me. Or they don't say anything because they meet resistance. And that's another story in itself, why that happens. We're out there. We're educating. It has been, of course, more than 40 years since the American Medical Association made its first attempt to destroy the chiropractic profession. It formed a committee on quackery in November 1963. Interestingly enough, the committee's original name was the Committee on Chiropractic, but they changed the name so not to lend credibility to the chiropractic profession. So the primary objective of that Committee on Quackery was to contain and eliminate chiropractic as a recognized health care service in the United States. Well, why its efforts were ultimately unsuccessful? Its activities did delay the full integration of chiropractic into the healthcare marketplace for several years. But as a result of a Supreme Court ruling that, you know, the committee disbanded, Judge Susan Getzendiner issued a historic ruling that found the AMA guilty of engaging in a conspiracy to contain and eliminate chiropractic. While that occurred, what happened was academia and chiropractic started to grow and change. And the AMA, as a form of retribution to this day, pays for evidence-based research in chiropractic. This is why, the last 10 years, you've heard about our ability to work with patients, to help with migraines, to things of this nature, to improve upon the health, and to work in integrated care looking at the total patient. So now that I've said that and educated a little bit there, we're back to the innate intelligent and having a sure way to raise energy field frequencies into higher realms. You literally are providing yourself with a treatment when you remember to practice this. Now, for me, I practice with the presence of God within and with and around me. Because as a doctor, when I was hit with a terminal illness and 11 months to live, the outcome, the procedure, the algorithm management plan was absolutely too much for my mind to fathom. So my mind, being the substance of all matter, I had to release that. I had to relinquish my fear. And it took a lot of discipline. And I had to reach out and bring it to everyone. I spent 4 months in healing prior to doing anything about this. But that's another story. Let's just take a little quick lesson before we conclude the hour. I want you to take a look at your right hand. You wouldn't describe it as intelligence, because the intelligence is the mind that directs your hand to move to the right, to grasp, to make a fist, or to wave at someone you love, to wave goodbye. Well, the hand responds to the directives of your mind. Well, the hand has intelligence, of course. It does have intelligence, innate intelligence, as does every living cell have a center of intelligence. But that cell responds to the directives of your mind through chemical messengers, a.k.a. hormones, neurotransmitters. So your mind is the substance of the matter that is called your hand. Now think about every other organ in your body, your heart, your spleen, your liver, all of which were created to act in accordance with the central divine intelligence within them. Yet your mind is still the substance. If you so elect, your entire body will respond to the directiveness or directives of your mind. From your mind, you can tell all your body parts that God, the Spirit, gave them functions and direct them to perform them. As you use your mind in this manner, this particular manner, to direct your body, eventually it will do so on its own. Now, this is where you're going to use your mind to focus on a higher spiritual invisible energy to heal your body. That's the one lesson for this evening, to teach you when you raise your energy field to include yourself in the mind of God and the mind of the Spirit, and recognize that you have that God-filled at your disposal. Every person on earth is governed by the mind of God, the mind of the Spirit, yet most don't recognize this. It's only when you encounter the problem or the illusion of separation or the disease that you think you're separate from the healing force. The unifying force is the source of intelligence of every person and the intelligence of every cell in the universe. And this is the scope of your mind. So direct it, insist, demand if you must. But your mind must be in harmony with the divine mind. And your energy will move from slow to fast, from material to spiritual, from problems to solutions. So the next time you're faced with a problem, you will heal. You will have the power of the physician within you. I'm Dr. Nancy Molina. I'm located with the Anti-Aging Medical Associates in Laguna Hills. And you can call me. You can reach me on Mondays through this broadcast service. You can call me through the Laguna Hills office or through my office located in San Juan Capistrano. The number in San Juan is 949-248-2826. The website is molinachiropractic.com. We have the Anti-Aging Center with a wonderful group of medical physicians, the OCAntiAging.com, located in Laguna Hills. I'll be back next Monday. We'll be discussing more of this anti-aging, reversing the spiritual dilemmas that we face, the hormonal dilemmas that we face, the aging processes that we no longer have to face. And again, recognize that this program is about awakening the innate intelligence or the physician within us. And I'd like you to join me next week between the hours of 6 and 7 Pacific time. I will have invited guests, and each week we're going to discuss current medical topics, latest scientific breakthroughs. I'm going to bring the medical literature in, the peer-reviewed journals. We're going to discuss natural solutions to a variety of health problems. I'd like to share my experience with you on the other side of the bedpan and as a doctor. I've been a chiropractor, paramedic. I was the first female deputy coroner in Las Vegas, the original CSI. I've seen a lot with the human body. And I want you to discover a unique pathway for your healing. You'll have the opportunity to learn about nutrition and exercise and spiritual fitness, physiological stress reduction, not how to do it, but what it is. When you understand that, you will become the best physician out there for your health. You'll become aware and you'll have the knowledge. You'll be given guidelines on how you can live on a daily and weekly basis to make steady, incremental changes that will ultimately lead to a lifetime of health and happiness. As we close this program this evening, I do want to emphasize that, and I want to emphasize any disassociates from your inner world. When you yield to your material world, any disassociations from your inner world will create illness, will allow you to be predisposed towards the illness, just like genetics. If you have a strong family history of cardiovascular disease or cancers in your family, that will predispose you perhaps to where you're at a greater risk and you must be tested for these conditions before they manifest. But any disassociations from your inner world, your inner physician, will also predispose you. You must allow higher frequencies of your spirit to manifest in your life. We want to send love to, and we want to pray to everyone out there this evening, and let them know that this radio broadcast is brought about simply on the basis of love, because when we send love in response, we can accomplish one of the most difficult things for anyone. We can look into our consciousness and we can say that we call no one an enemy and there's no one that we truly would hate. And over the course of my life, well, I've been disappointed many times. Some have borrowed money from me and never repaid. People have forgotten promises. I've even been left for others. And some have even spread rumors about me. I send love to all of them because I'm mindful of Buddha's words that we live happily indeed, not hating those who hate us. Among men who hate us, we dwell free from hatred. It has been this transformation in my own thinking, I think more than anything else, that has allowed me to move out of low energy problem regions of my life. I think it's a powerful strategy for raising your spiritual awareness. We can move up on energies to higher levels of spirit in knowing that it's not unattainable, and knowing that everything that I have means an unbounded prosperity of this universe. Is yours mean that whatever you place your attention on with love, now, not at some future time, but now, there's an unbounded piece of the pie waiting for you. My mother had a saying over the pieces of the pie, and don't let them separate, and she'd like to dispense goodies to some and baddies to others. But you're always connected to a universal source of present moment energy. I recall that St. Paul had put it in the letter to the Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We should know this truth. I believe it's in Corinthians 1, chapter 3, verse 16, if I recall. When you know that type of a truth, I guess you stop asking so much by thinking that something's being withheld from you. Instead, you bring that spirit inside you to fix those missing or problem areas or diseased areas. And that truly is unlocking the secret for a solution. So again, recognize I'm giving you a little bit different idea here, and just trying to get you to eliminate the barrier of your mental inertia. You know, there's not bad powers and good powers and forces and things of this nature. It's just that harmony should be your normal, natural state of being. And I know it's difficult. I know when we're on the freeway and people are shaking their fist and tooting their horn, it's difficult. But you don't want to get rid of it. You want to be the captain of the ship called your body. You want to be able to steer it through a lifetime and make it a marvelous voyage. When you reach, I believe, spiritual peace, your mind and your body will be the instruments through which this energy, this life energy, flows, and the position within assists you. You're no longer going to be limited by boundaries of the body and the mind. And I'm going to share with you patient cases as they come up throughout the talk shows on every Monday from 6 to 7 on bbsradio.com. I believe in teaching. I believe in visualizing abundance in my life. I believe in recognition of the physician, the inner physician within. I think Benjamin Hoff had a clever little book out there called The Tao of Pooh. And he put it this way: the masters of life know the way. They listen to the voice within them, the voice of wisdom and simplicity, the voice that reasons beyond cleverness and knows beyond knowledge. That voice is not just the power and poverty of a few, but has been given to everyone. It is the key to harnessing the power of the uncarved block. So it is your key to harness the one power, that one power within you. Identity has been given to you. And do not live in this illusion that you're separate. You have the power. You have innate intelligence. Call upon it. Define yourself as someone that can create healing within your own life and take control of healthcare. Be an avid patient, healthcare consumer, so that we, as doctors, can assist you in acquiring true preventative health and assist you in living this joyous life. But we're assisting you. We are facilitators. We are not health itself. That only comes from within. Again, this is Dr. Nancy Molina with the Dr. Molina Show, coming to you at bbsradio.com, Monday night between the hours of 6 and 7. I am available at MolinaChiropractic.com or through OCAntiAging.com, a multidisciplinary medical center. I'd love to hear from you at the next talk show. Please call in. I'll be happy to answer your questions and assist you. Again, the talk show is designed to awaken the true physician within and teach you about innate intelligence and that you have the power for healing.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.